the rest of the story. Once upon a Chicago autumn time, an out-of-work actor named George Brooks trudged up Humboldt Park Boulevard number 68 to a cottage where he lived with his low wife Maud and their four sons. For an interminable while, George stood outside on the steps, the door silently daring him to open it, echoing in his brain with the words his mother-in-law had spoken before she was such, the stern reproach, "I won't have my daughter be a darned fool and marry an actor." Well, Maud had ignored her mother. Perhaps, after all, unwisely. Anyway, George's mother-in-law was gone now, but before she died, she urged him to do something. "You're a good storyteller," she told him. "You write those stories down, have them published." Well, George had tried practically everything else. A neighborhood newspaper, a magazine for stamp collectors. He'd tried playwriting and songwriting, wholesale, retail, and, of course, acting. But this time, Maud approved of her mother's exhortation. George must try, she agreed, storytelling. And so he did. Now, George Brooks is still standing there outside his own front door, only now he's recalling earlier that same day when Maud came to him asking for Christmas money. It was not for her, it was for the boys. This time of year meant so much, it would be a shame to disappoint them on Christmas morning. So Maud had made a difficult request of her husband. "Please," she asked, "he must go downtown to see Mr. Hill, the man who had agreed to publish George's story, and he must ask for an advance, maybe $100, just to get them through Christmas." At first, George was reluctant. Maud just didn't understand, he said. An advance meant payment for books that had not yet been sold, for books that may never be sold. But finally, George relented. As always, his family came first. Mr. Hill, the publisher, was not so easily persuaded. "No advances," he told George, scowling. You see, Mr. Hill had not wanted to publish George's book in the first place. Initially, he'd turned it down, as had every other publisher in Chicago. So, Mr. Hill's bookkeeper was instructed to write a check for whatever the firm owed George on books already sold, but not a penny more. Well, now, George is standing there in the cottage on Humboldt Park Boulevard. Maud is at her ironing board, smoothing the collar on George's other shirt. And George, his expression forlorn, his hand trembling, takes the envelope out of his pocket of his coat. He passes it to his wife. Embarrassed, he has not yet examined its contents. Maud, forcing a smile, opens the envelope and looks inside. In the next instant, there is a shout. Maud clasps a hand to her mouth, still staring at the check. $3,432.64. And thus began the happiest Christmas season ever at 68 Humboldt Park Boulevard, with the first evidence, and in four figures, that George had written the best-selling children's book of the year, 1900, and one of the most enduring of all time. Of course, George Brooks was his stage name, the name he had used as an actor. You remember him instead as L. Frank Baum, and you know the story that made Christmas as the Wonderful Wizard of Oz. Only now, you know the rest of the story.